I have so many issues, I'm not able to live in the world anymore, and at the same time I haven't achieved enlightenment, so I don't know what is real, what is illusion, and what does it mean to die before I die? Well, the only way you will know is by doing it. And the only way you will know what is real is to discover what cannot be denied. And if you sit and contemplate what you cannot deny, you cannot deny that you are contemplating. You cannot deny your consciousness. You can deny all the contents of the consciousness. They could be delusions or dreams or some other false perception, like seeing a mirage and confusing it with water or something like that, or seeing a rope and thinking it's a snake, to use the old traditional examples. But the consciousness itself is undeniable. And that is what we are. And if you will enter into consciousness in the purity of its nature prior to all of those confusing thoughts of what is real and what is not, and simply abide as consciousness, then all will be revealed without your doing anything, and all doubts will be answered by consciousness itself. This brings up a very interesting point. If you read the early tantric shastras, they all have a similar form, and they are Shakti asking questions of Shiva. Or in some, it's Bhairavi asking Bhairava. These are just different names for Shiva. Or in the Buddhist tantras, it's Samantabhadri asking Samantabhadra. And so there are different names, but tantrism is identical, whether it's Hindu or Buddhist. And it's this question and answer that is, in a way, how the explanation of consciousness is transmitted to the point where the one asking the question comes to the realization that they are also the same one answering the question. And this is the state in which a disciple realizes that when the guru is answering their question, they already knew it, and that they share the same mind, and there are no differences and no doubts, and that it's one self functioning as both questioner and answerer. And it's when that non-duality happens that then all of the other aspects of non-duality begin to blossom. And so this is, in a way, also how the torch would be passed in the appropriate way that was authentic. The realization of non-duality of all beings in all relationships. When you've reached that point that you know that whoever you're talking to, you're speaking to yourself. And whatever you're relating to in the world, you are relating to an aspect of yourself that you have dreamed. When you are in that state, then there will be no doubts of what is real. It's New Year's Eve, and I can't help feeling, this night, like I'm missing friends, family, parties, champagne. Would you say that this is a sanskara? Yes, it is indeed. If you recognize that champagne won't get you nearly as high as the great bliss of partying with Shiva and Shakti, then you won't miss anyone else, because they are the best company in the world. And because they are the two aspects and polarities of your own consciousness, your party is happening within your mind and heart. And it's that party that never ends. So it's a much more enjoyable party that doesn't, you know, leave you with a headache the next day. So it's important to let go of that sanskara of missing anything, because no one is missing out on anything real, and whatever you need is given to you. So see what is there, not imagine what you wish was there, and you'll discover that you have complete fulfillment here and now. I experience physical sensations in the spine and the brain. I also need to sleep longer hours than usual. Can you tell me if it's normal and explain? Well, first of all, I don't believe in the concept of normal, you know. The norm today is psychosis, you know, and psychopathological being. So, but nothing somatic is not psychic as well. But you will have to sit and meditate on these physical sensations that you have somatized and bring them back into your consciousness, and they will be deciphered as thoughts with affects that are being expressed in this way. And it may be a concretion of the subconscious wish for the rise of Kundalini. But the rise of Kundalini doesn't require any sensations in your spine, because it is a rising of consciousness that is completely bodiless and formless. Some people will have those somatizations of the chakras as if they're in the body, because different aspects and organ systems in the body will be stimulated and awakened as the consciousness moves into different levels where different aspects of their being are become the locus of consciousness, especially when the consciousness rises into the third eye and the brain is fully awakened and the grace of Shakti is received, that lights up the crown chakra, and then the consciousness goes beyond the skull into the infinite ether and becomes one with the cosmos as well as with the individual body vehicle. And so this may be an intimation of that process that may happen in the future. But by understanding it at the highest level, it can be realized as happening right at this very moment. And then those sensations will turn to great bliss. By being in oneness, I understood that everything happens by itself. Yes and no. I totally accept the clearing of universal consciousness will provide greater context from which everything happens. I totally accept that. However, I struggle to reconcile this and the daily chores I have to do at work and at home. Well, my friend, no one is free of those daily chores. And that's our karma yoga. And if you do that as serving God, because all of the chores are to bring shaucha, to bring cleanliness, beauty into the world, to bring divine order into the world, to bring coherence, to bring a functionality into the world. And some of the chores have to do with taking care of your own body, you know, showering it and brushing its teeth and all of those things that make the living temple an attractive place for Shiva's consciousness to emanate from. And so we have to appreciate that we are caretakers of living temples, as well as being the temple and the God worshipped in that temple. And when we have that approach to everything in our lives, then there are no chores. There are the privileges of serving God, and karma yoga becomes an act of joy. So I hope that that Hajji spirit will attract you. Your consistent teachings on ego consciousness were the breakthrough required to acknowledge that I am not just that person that I thought I was. I've dedicated my life to the sacred and the teaching of non-duality. I wrote to you earlier in the year that I had finished my synthesis of universal dynamics called The Metaphysics of One, and you replied that I should go on and write The Metaphysics of Zero. I remember that. Will the realization of Mahasukha get me any closer to understanding The Metaphysics of Zero? Yes, indeed, it will. Because that's what Mahasukha is. It comes when you have reached the zero point and you are able to consciously recognize that you are nothing. You are absolute emptiness of existence because it's ajata. Nothing is except the God consciousness itself. And it is nothing, but it is such a dense nothingness that it contains infinity. And it is that paradox of all and nothing as a single whole that enables the metaphysics of zero to be translated into symbolic language. And that can only be done accurately from the zero point itself. So indeed, I think that the writing of it will force you to attune to the zero point and realize that is what you are. And that will cause, in turn, the bindu, the jyoti bindu, that point of light that signifies the appearance of that zero point as the consciousness of God's divine spark within each being will be ignited, and your luminosity of intelligence will write it by itself, indeed. But it is the self that will write it through you as an instrument. And then perhaps we'll have a book that will serve Shiva in the final phase of the revelation. So blessings on that project.